Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And well. We just, you know, we can't break this syndrome. We've got just a lot of stuff going on, and you know, one of the things that we don't talk about often but I think is important is history. Okay, you know, you've heard the old saying, those who fail to study history are doomed to repeat it. And can we not see that very thing happening right before our very eyes, that our leaders are repeating the same old crap from history? You know, if we look back at history and we see that, you know, in stock markets, bubbles are created and they always pop. Why? Because we fail to see history. Now, one of the things that bothers me the most is we've got a great template or blueprint of history if we would see what Japan has done over the last 30 years. And of course, our leaders refuse to look at that. And of course, we are on the same path as they are, as is now the rest of the world, in this money printing, low interest rate environment that really does not allow assets to price themselves. And all we are doing is creating a bigger and a harder fall, because really what we see here is less people working, less people making money, and a market that continues to go higher. We see leverage being used by people that shouldn't be. I mean, nobody should be over-leveraged, as is our Federal Reserve today, which is leveraged at 77-1. You know, have we not learned from history that over-leverage creates eventually a crippling effect to the downside, that eventually we run out and we have to make a decision that will put us in a lousy place? Also, we have to realize that, you know, from history, that if we try to, you know, do things that are unnatural, that we're going to find out that they're going to be a problem later. And I think this is something that needs to be handled and dealt with sooner than later. But all of us have the tendency to forget about what happened in the past, and then we repeat the mistake. Now, you can look back in history and, you know, many things that have happened. I mean, you can look at markets from a crashing standpoint. They're always the same. They're always built on euphoria by individual investors trying to make their mark and make sure that they get rich this time, because this time is always different. But we can look at other areas for history as well. I mean, you can look back at Nazi Germany and Hitler and look at ISIS today. Are they not similar? Are they not breeding on people that are looking for an answer? Okay. You know, when you create poor people, when you make people hungry and you make them in a position that they can't feel a chance to get out, then they're going to fall into these ridiculous groups that have happened in the past. And, you know, when you watch and see how things are being handled in this country, you can see that we are creating a bunch of poor people. We're creating a bunch of people that need and are going to start looking for answers. And, you know, it starts innocently enough by people just giving up. And after you give up, what's next? And that, to me, is a bigger tragedy that we have, because we're watching this unfold right before us and we aren't doing anything about it. And that, to me, will create some of the bigger problems. You know, you can't continue to put people in a position where they can't get out. Because, again, in this lifetime, when you lose hope, you lose everything. Okay? At least if you have a hope, you have a chance, you are willing to go that extra mile to try to move on and try to get past it. But when you don't have hope, you look for other answers. And I think that is a problem. I think that is what has been created in this country when you start to eliminate the middle class. I think those are things that become a bigger problem. And we've talked about this many times. The rich and the poor are what they are. The entitled get the entitled, and the rich have what they have. But you're really, your biggest part, your drivers of any economy are the middle class. And if you take them out of it, okay, you're creating and you're downgrading. You know, if you've ever been in a position that, you know, you feel you can't get out of, you lose hope. That's how people lose their money. Okay. That's what happens in markets. Okay. When they crash, that's really a sign of people having tremendous fear and losing all hope that they can do the right thing. And that's the kind of position that we are seeing people be put into today, is we're taking away the dream, the hope. And when you remove dreams and hope from anybody, you've now brought them down to a level where now it's about strictly survival. You know, if you get up every day and believe that you have a chance to move on to that next level in life, you know, if you have a job and, you know, you've got the potential for a promotion or more money, you know, you've got the hope. The hope will continue to drive you forward. But when you lose hope, you become either just an employee and you just kind of go about your motions, or you quit and you look for something else. But when you stop the ability to get hope, then you really find yourself in a much bigger problem. And unfortunately, that is a lot of the drivers of things that are happening now in this country, because we are taking away the hope and the dreams of Americans that have worked hard their whole life to get to a certain position. And now the hope is gone. The dreams are gone because they have nowhere to go. And now you're forcing them into a position that is doomed to fail. Okay. The whole strategy behind what our government and what our Federal Reserve is doing is doomed to fail. It will fail. Because you cannot ignore the problem. You have to fix it. And they have offered no hope of a fix. And that becomes a bigger problem when you take away that ability. And that's, you know, the message we have here. And again, it doesn't mean anything except that we have to fix it, because history is a great teacher. History will tell you what we have done wrong in the past and how to correct that. And until we get leaders that say, hey, we need to fix this and make it better for everybody, we are going to continue to see these struggles come aboard. And to me, I find that very critical that we make that decision to give back the hope to the American people, give back the dreams, instead of removing them and becoming robots. Make sure you check out our friends at Thinkorswim. They have swim lessons every day, classes. They'll help you out. We get a discount with them. We can help you out with your brokerage fees. If you ever miss an episode, all you got to do is go to libertytalk.fm and you can listen to The Bubba Show at any time you want. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to stop by here for a break, and I will be right back. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And here we rock and roll like we did last summer. And, You know, market's crazy. I tell you, I don't understand. But one of the things I don't understand more than anything, and forget about whether you're a Republican or Democrat, how could any party want to be represented by Hillary Clinton, who's got so many clouds over her head that they could arrest her at any day? Probably not, right? I mean, she's escaped everything else. But I mean, seriously, forget about what side you are on. I mean, if that was our number one candidate on the other side, I would say the same thing. I mean, how can anybody want to support somebody who has done so many things over the years, never been officially caught, but at the end of the day, doesn't it make sense to be concerned? I mean, you know, it's amazing that the front runner, and I think still the front runner to win the whole election, is still Hillary Clinton, who has a lot of dark clouds overhead. I find it amazing that we believe that she can actually do the job. And again, it doesn't matter what side she's on here. You could put ABC in the name and give me that background. But I guess since about 30% of Congress has been in jail, I guess it's no big deal. Now, according to our experts, there is no sign of recession. But if you look at earnings, if you look at revenue, if you look at some of the other things that are going on, I mean, you know, home sales, everything indicates that there's a problem, but nobody admits. You know, remember I wrote a couple weeks ago, the only time you can fix a problem if you acknowledge that you have one. And I find it interesting. I find it interesting that the PMI fell to the weakest since 2013, since the government shutdown. Now, again, I'm not telling you that you should be nervous or whatever. I'm just saying, hey, these are just stats. These are just statistics that are out there that we continue to ignore. Okay, pending home sales fell again. Chicago PMI falls third month in a row. You know, purchasing manager index, that means you're not buying. So where is it that we're seeing this tremendous amount of good things happening? You know, industrial production down. Okay. So, you know, I look at it and I go, okay, you know, they continue to tell me that everything's okay. And I hope it is, but you know, you can certainly see why we would have some concern in the world when we have all this information in front of us that says, well, maybe you should take a step back. Now, again, we continue to harp on the deal that, you know, the Wall Street and the actual economy are not necessarily linked all the time. And this is obviously part of that because, you know, we're worried about other things. And it really, you know, when you look at, you'll see, you know, retail sales will be this week again, and I'm sure they're going to be another disaster. I mean, you know, it's just consumption, goods, services, everything is falling. Now, part of it is, now some people will say that it's a technology issue, and I'll say, well, maybe, but maybe it's because, you know, companies have figured out that, you know, a lot of employees work part-time from home and have a home office, so they don't have to travel as much, which would reduce some of the consumption. But what I really want to know is what's going to happen to all of the restaurants and fast food places that opened in these areas where there was high concentrations of people, that there's no longer the high concentration of people. You know, everybody forgets, you know, when you become isolated and you become, you know, in your home, you don't have the need to go out for these other things. So you don't drive, so you don't use gas, you don't go out for lunch, so you don't, you know, support the local merchant. And it changes the dynamics. Now, again, I'm not saying that's a bad or a good thing. I'm just saying that, you know, it does slow down a lot of the production that's out there. And, you know, I see it all the time when I'm down at the Board of Trade. You know, all of these people who wanted to get these big restaurants, you know, these fast food joints and to supply the hundreds of thousands of people that work down there. Well, now there's no longer hundreds of thousands of people. So now they're fighting over the same customer. Now, what's going to happen to all these buildings when the rest of the people disappear. And that becomes a bigger issue to think about, because as we become more isolated, as we become more of a work-at-home society, more of a technology-based, where you don't have to go in, that changes a lot of the dynamics of where a lot of the sales will come from, which only helps the Amazons of the world, okay, because of the online ability to purchase. So the whole supply-demand equation for energy reduces, because you figure it out. If you drive 2 days less a week, your car, you know, you're cutting down your driving by, you know, 20%, 40%, depending on how often you drove before. All of a sudden, that's less consumption. And that means less consumption. That means less spending. That means less of everything. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing on its own, but it is something to think about when you evaluate and you look at numbers that are coming out. And it does create other issues that, you know, we'll figure out. But this is the whole story in a nutshell, that, you know, people make less money, they're spending less money, and then they have the reason to spend less money as well. So it becomes, you know, a mushroom effect, and we just keep getting bigger and bigger problems because we haven't done anything to solve the problems that exist. From the Hillary Clinton to the Mitt Romney and the Republican Party. I mean, can you imagine what the Republican Party is doing to itself? Isn't it bad enough that they don't want another term of somebody from the other side, yet they continue to bash the guy who's bringing out more voters than anybody ever? It's interesting to see how this whole thing works, and it just goes to show you, you know, what happens when people can't figure it out. And this is where you would think that the party would stand behind somebody and say, hey, this is our guy. He's doing the job. And I go, okay, so you don't want to do that. And you're giving people a reason to go to the other side of where you are, which is what, you know, we talked about last week with Scott and whatever, you know, we need not a Republican or Democrat. We need a commonsensical. And that is where we lack the common sense to actually build upon where we are and actually make things better. I mean, it's kind of sad and tragic to see the third grade stuff going on in the Republican committee. And the Democrats are no better, because they're jumping right on board of it and actually making a point to talk about it. So you can see where we've come from and where we're going. And isn't it amazing that we haven't heard from anybody from the Fed since the markets had such a big rally? So they went back into hibernation again, because they figured they did their job and got the stock market to rally again. Well, you know, that's all well and good, but considering that most people don't participate in the stock market on a daily basis, and most people, if they're in, which most of us are in some way, shape, or form, but we don't get the immediate gratification from the stock market going higher. You know, if your IRA grows, it doesn't mean you want to go out and spend more money, because you're worried about the liquid capital you have in your pocket, basically. So, you know, we tie all of these things in with a pretty little bow, and what do you got? You got nothing. You got ugly. You got problems. You got an economy struggling. And again, I'm not trying to create, you know, bad news. I'm just saying that these are things that you look at and we love to ignore them. Okay. We want to hide from them. We have been taught by our leaders to hide from the problem rather than to address it. And I do believe that at the end of the day becomes a bigger problem. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. You know, it's a long way from a final score, but always something to be interested in and look at. So make sure when you look for your new trading platform, you go to Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders. If you email me or you click it from the website, you'll get a better price. And The other thing is if you ever miss an episode, go to libertytalk.fm. Every show is on demand and available for you. And other than that, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop by for a break, and we will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's time for our chat with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. What's up, Matt?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing, Todd?
Besides the equities, what else is up?
Well, the big red symbols on my screen, but for my positions.
Last week we talked and we thought that, you know, we are probably going to see some selling pressure. You did warn that they could go higher, and there was things that you were looking at, but overall you felt that the next big move was going to be down. And of course we had a pretty nasty up move if you were short, and of course I think you and I were both short, so we get that part of it. But now here we are, and again, that is part of the business, and I have to make that clear to everybody, is that if it was easy, everybody would do it. Number one. Number two, there is no automatics. It's always a probability game. So the probabilities failed, which, listen, you can have pocket aces and lose. So we know that. So now what do we look for? What are we looking at now, Matt?
Well, I think this week we will get the sell off. You know, everything across the board is in nosebleed territory. Every index I look at on stochastics is in the high 90s, with the exception of the Shanghai Composite, which I'm not bullish on anyway. But everything I look at is extremely overbought, extreme conditions. For example, the New York Stock Exchange Composite, the McClellan Oscillator, is at the second highest reading it's been in 50 years. I mean, this is really overbought. So I think it's going to happen this week. And specifically, I think we need to look at Euro Stoxx 50, which I take as it's a big index, a lot of European stocks across the Eurozone. That almost hit my target on Friday. So we came within 1%. So I think we're going to hit this week, and then we'll reverse. That's a good index to watch for the overall global equities.
Can you give me a day and a time when this is going to happen?
Day and a time? No, but I think the price will be 3,080. So we got up to 3,056 last week. 3,080 should be the top.
Okay. Now as we look at it, cannot the markets resolve the overbought conditions and everything else by also going sideways, though, without going down?
Yeah, they'd have to go sideways for a pretty long time, but yeah, they could.
They can resolve themselves in a couple of ways, and that is one of the ways, is it not?
It is, but the pattern I'm seeing, a very clear pattern I'm seeing in Euro Stoxx 50 is that it needs to fall quite a bit, like 25% to 30%, and otherwise it can't complete the pattern. If it chops sideways, it would take 4 years for it to hit its target because it's a rising target.
Okay.
So that would be a lot of chop. I think most likely we're going to see a pretty big downdraft.
Okay. Now, do you think this will be, when you say down, so where is your first target on the downside?
Well, sticking with the Euro Stoxx, I'm looking at 2,300. So being at, 3,000 now, approximately, that's, between 25 and 30%.
Okay, and then in the S&P, you have a target there?
S&P, I'm not totally clear on where it's going to bottom. In fact, I'm starting just to key off of Euro Stoxx, because when it bottoms, we should get a sort of a global bottom.
Okay, and what if you listen, I know we can't time it to time, but is this going to be, you think, a rapid sell-off? I mean, we know the average sell-off lasts, let's say less than a year. If it's going to be that, I mean, is this something that could happen very quickly, or something that you think will happen over time over the next 4 or 5 months?
Well, given how overbought it is, I think the first piece of it might be quite quick, but then I don't know if it will slow down. It's one of these things where my methods work much better for determining ultimate price, but not how much time. So I'm not, if you look at the drop we've had so far, it's occurred over, if you want to say May, then if you want to say November, depends on how you're looking at it. But I would say certainly within a year.
No, I understand. I'm not trying to pin you down to an exact time. I'm just, everybody talks about 08. Now, 08 did not just happen in, that fast. I mean, we make it sound like it was that fast, but, you had plenty of time in 08. There was plenty of big rallies to sell into should you decide that this was the right to go. And I would assume this will be the same if you are correct that we're going to get a sell-off, which I believe is correct as well. Then you might get, we could get an initial, let's say a couple of hundred. We could lose that 50 S&P handles we picked up last week. We could lose it this week, and you might get a little bit of a bounce off of that, and then have another selling opportunity. I think the way I would look at that, and let me get your confirmation, is that these, if we can finally get the break, which is the first part of this, but once we get a big enough break, then every subsequent rally would be, in your mind, a selling opportunity at some point that you'd be looking at. Would that be correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we are at the pivot area right now, so that this would be as high as we can get prior to a final bottom. So any other rally on the way down would be a selling opportunity.
Okay, so again, so what we're looking for now is we're looking for an entry. Now, what would be, I know we're talking about the Euro Stoxx, but what about in the S&P? Do you have an entry for a short position in the S&P?
Yeah, the problem I'm seeing with the S&P is that it did have some resistance levels that it blew through, and I'm trying, there is the 200-day moving average. I think it's around 223, something like that. Sorry, 2023. But I also have a completion target up at 2050. So I could go all the way up to 2050 based upon my work. So for me, that's why I'm looking at the Euro Stoxx, because, it's a much cleaner pattern. I can see exactly where it should top.
Right. No, I get that. I understand all that. Now, again, look, I don't want, I'm not trying to make it give me an exact number, but so you would be, but if I were to say to you, at 2023, you would look at it and see if it would turn over, but at 2050, you would be just selling without thinking about it. Would that be?
2050, I would just sell without thinking, yeah. That's just, it's so overbought, it's so ready to fall, and that's 50 points, higher than, where we closed last week.
So you would, I would guess, if you're not still short, that you'd just like to see an explosion up to 2050 and just sell them and forget about it. But I know markets don't work that. Unfortunately, the markets aren't cooperating the way that we would like them to. But I think this is a good lesson. And I think this is, if you can do a little bit of explaining of how you handled the overall punishment, because it was a punishing week, and you know, we don't hide from what happens. Explain to me how you went about dealing with last week's obviously action that was not very good for us.
Well, the way I dealt with it, just we didn't, you know, sell short all at once. As we got higher, we shorted more. You know, when I had to pull back and take a look and say, why do we, I mean, you know, look, we were looking at fast stochastic going up to 99.99, like all towards the end of last week, pretty much the whole week, it was 99.99 to back off, and then push higher again, just enough to let stochastic get to its maximum level. But in any case, we started layering in, and so now we're up to pretty large short position. So at this point, if we may need to hedge, but I you know, I'm so confident we're going to get a drop here that these kind of conditions happen very rarely. So we just have to go with that and just kind of suffer, I think.
Okay, well, I mean, again, you know, but you know, individual investors, they have to make a choice. Mm-hmm. You know how it goes. I mean, this is how tops and bottoms are made in the market. You know, when people have to make a choice, I mean, we could see a, you know, a euphoric. We obviously, it would look like euphoric, but it would actually be the final squeezing of getting rest of the shorts before the market could fall lower. I mean, there's a lot of that could happen as well. Is that not true?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much, you know, I think the shorts have been squeezed pretty hard from the bottom around 18:20, I think. So, you know, we're now 180 points higher. They've been squeezed. There's probably not a whole lot of sort of rocket fuel, so to speak, coming out of the shorts. They've already been squeezed so much. The problem is, you know, when you get up to higher levels, they start shorting again, and then, you know, they come back on as, you know, to be squeezed. But our strategy going forward for this week is to we moderated our short position, and we're saving some, you know, some dry powder to short at a higher level in the S&P. I'm just specifically waiting for Euro stocks to hit that 3,080. Once that happens, we'll go short, you know, across the board.
Right. No, I get that. Again, I know these are tougher questions, but I do get it, and it does happen. And I think, you know, there was a lot of late short covering last week, not necessarily in the S&P, but certainly in some of the stocks. And we'll talk about those when we come back, because I think that they do tie together. And you saw what happened in the steel and some of the oil as well last week. And that was very big. But we're talking with Matt Demeter, and I'm putting him on the Barbie right here. But now he understands it, and we handle it well. And look, we all know that these are part of trading decisions, and things happen in markets. There's nothing you can do. You can't. It's not an exact science. It's all about the probabilities, which is what we always play. We'll be back with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com after the break. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. If you ever miss an episode, LibertyTalk.fm will get you the on-demand version. We'll be back right after the break with more from Matt, the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back. And I was proud. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my man, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Check him out. He's got great information and great understanding of the markets, and his methods are true and informed and give you a high probability of a winning percentage. So, Matt, at the end of last week, we saw some interesting things happen. I think you saw U.S. Steel start to take off and is now gone from its low of about $6. It actually printed 15 before selling off. And Chesapeake, after Aubrey Hendon ran himself into a building, that stock went from 2 and change to over 5. To me, that's always the end of a lot of the short squeeze, when people start to throw in the towel and some of these cheaper things that were for sure going to go out of business, and all of a sudden they've changed their mind. What's your thoughts to that, and what do you think?
I think that the industrial metals, just to talk about them, are I think they have one big leg down coming, but I think, you know, they're kind of extended to the upside now. I don't follow, you know, all the miners. I know, you know, some of them have done really well too. Gold and silver have done great. I think these are sort of relief rallies. I think there's one more leg to go to the downside.
Now, I know you're under the opinion in the from your commitment of traders report, which we talked about last week, that the banks are still heavily short gold and silver, and they put in, obviously, a nice rally last week. Would you call the rally a short covering rally, or would you call that a buyer's rally? Because we know that the big banks who can kind of control it are still short. How would you classify that rally, and are you just looking for a spot to sell here?
Right. I think this is, I think there's, some euphoria has come back to the gold and silver space. And I think this is a prelude to what we're going to see when, because I don't think this is, I don't think we've bottomed gold and silver, like I've said before. I think, we've had these massive runs in the gold miners and silver miners. And the metals themselves have done pretty well, but the miners have gone berserk. I think this is a good prelude to what will be the final bottom, which I think this next leg down will be it. And the reason why I still believe there's going to be a next leg down, one, my targets haven't been hit, but two, as we were talking about the banks, the commercials, they are not letting up. They're just increasing their shorts as gold and silver run higher. So now we're at levels where in gold, the banks haven't been this short, going back to 2008. So at some point they're going to pull the trigger. They haven't really done it yet. I am kind of surprised. And if the one thing that could overrun the banks would be if there's a physical shortage, which I don't think there is. There's signs that may be developing, but I don't think it's quite there yet.
All right. Well, I mean, again, you're playing it's a probability model. That's what we look for always. And, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I think it's gone a little bit too far too fast. I don't know how low it'll go, but I've been bullish, gold and silver. And now I think, you always need some relief, no matter which way it's going to go, because if this longer term trend is going to be up, it needs to have a better working. I think it's gone up a little bit too rapidly here. But so when we look at it, what is your target for the final leg down in gold?
Well, I'm leaving that as sort of a secret for subscribers.
Okay, cool. No problem.
But, yeah, but I think we'll definitely take out, the lows we saw in January. Up to 100.
That's fine. I have no problem with that. And that's why that's why you have diameterresearch.com, so people can subscribe and get some of the secret answers. But let me ask you this question. If you were just a long-term investor and weren't really a trader and weren't looking at actively in the market, would you be upset owning gold here?
Oh, no. I mean, we actually got long miners, the gold miners at the bottom on January 19th. We sold it too soon, for sure. But I'm a gold bug. I'm a silver bug. I love seeing them run. And what I'd like to see is just see the whole process be over. And since I don't think it's over yet, to me, this is just another, it's a delay until we can have a true bull market. And I want to see that begin again, because I like gold and silver for being honest money, and it's appealing to me in that way.
Now, what's your
the current traders are in it have done a great job, and I've been questioning the rally up to this point, and for the second half of it, really, and that's great that they got it right.
Now, what's your take in the dollar index? I mean, the dollar is about, I don't know, halfway back, I'd say, right now. It rallied up and now sits, about halfway between the recent high and the low. Where do we go from here?
Well, I think it's going down to about 94, a little bit above 94. It's got a rising target, which right about now is about 94.40. So I think we're going to see it run down. I think then we're going to, once that area gets hit, we're going to see a run in, run up to new highs later in the year, and that will be the final high that we see for several years.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, again, that would tie into some of the things that are going on. So what's your view? I think, I look at oil, and, I always thought that the first resistance in oil was 34. But I told everybody that listens to me, on my calls, I go, look, I'm not really a seller. but I would consider being a seller at 36 because I've seen this movie too many times before. And commodities, unlike equities, sometimes will make that extra push because they do trap a few more people because of the way they trade. And I think that probably up here it looks like it might be a reasonable sale for a short period of time. I am still bullish oil, but I think if, as a trader, I'd look for a spot to maybe capitalize from a little sell-off. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. I think we're going to get a sell-off. I think actually it's pushed a little bit further than I thought it should. So now I think it'll go a little bit higher, go to the next level. To me, actually, rather than identifying a price, because that's not quite as clear, it looks to me that the daily RSI in oil needs to get up to about 68, 69. At that point, I would see it turn back over. So whenever... I'm looking more at an indicator on this one rather than the exact price, but I think it could continue on a little bit higher. And then yes, I think we're gonna see a sell off. And here's another case where the banks are sticking to their guns on the short side.
All right, now interesting you say that because actually in the oil market that is important, the RSI, and that is the relative strength index, correct?
That's right, yeah.
And it is important because it expires every month and carries what they call a contango or a premium every month. If you call a price, if you call it today and expiration's tomorrow, right, you could be at that price tomorrow. So it is about the relative strength index. So you use that's for a product like gold, you're using the RSI versus actual price. Is that typical for you?
Well, gold, because it doesn't roll as often, doesn't have that as much of that problem, I can focus on price a bit more. But because, as you were saying, oil rolling every month, it's easier for me to follow RSI, which doesn't get distorted from that. So I would say this about oil. If you look at, say, stochastics, which run from 0 to 100, 100 being the theoretical maximum for being overbought, we're at 91 right now. In oil, so it's overbought on a short term basis. So I think you're absolutely correct that this is a reasonable sale right here.
And we got about 20 seconds or 30 seconds left. What are you thinking of wheat here? I know you like that a little bit now too, as well. Maybe put a bottom in.
Yeah, no, I think wheat bottomed. I think I think a great pair trade would be long wheat, short corn. I don't think corn has bottomed, but I think wheat probably has.
That's interesting. It's funny because I look at them both from my standpoint. I say, if I'm trading in that space, I'm only a buyer of any of them. I don't see a lot lower prices, but again, I'm willing to hold them. And, I'm more like the farmers. I know that, if I can hold them long enough, I can make money on them. But this has been our guy, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Always brings it his A game, and he tells it like it is. We appreciate you coming on, Matt.
Thanks a lot, Todd. I appreciate coming.
That was Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, always bringing his good stuff with him and giving you the best advantage and the highest probability trades. This is The Bubba Show. You miss an episode, go to libertytalk.fm. You can always get him on demand. And that'll do it for today. We'll see you back here tomorrow. The Bubba Show. Top Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.